हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
page
58
there's some transcendental ecstasy and didn't notice two pages.
Yeah, just I was not able to read.
Oh, okay. In fact, Krishna considers himself unable to repay the gopis for their devotion, even in a lifetime of the intelligent demigods or sages, or the supremely intelligent Lord Brahma. If we read swad sadhu krityam to mean proper compensation, the Lord says that he is unable to repay the gopis for their devotion. And if we read it alternatively to mean one's own saintly behavior, the Lord says that he cannot act with the same exceptionally saintly devotion for them as they have for him. Krishna is amazed by how strongly committed to him the gopis are. They have cut the insurmountable knots of attachment to home and husband and children, and the multitude of duties centered on them. Severing these attachments, the gopis have worshipped Krishna fully, whereas Krishna, because he has ties of love to so many devotees, feels he can never be as exclusively dedicated. Right? We see the point here is that the gopis are dedicated just to him. But Krishna, because of his ties to all the devotees, then he reciprocates with every devotee. So he can't be as exclusively dedicated to them as they are to him. Therefore, he says, he cannot repay. Right? Others, then they give, he reciprocates on the spot. But the exclusive devotion that they have so outshines everyone else that just the time he spends with them, he doesn't feel is enough. Because when he's not with them, they're only thinking of him. Right? When he's with other devotees, taking care of other devotees. Is that works? Yeah. So that's just, you know, how he'll see it, like that. Therefore, he can only suggest to the gopis that their own saintliness might repay his debt to them. Right? In other words, their good qualities can be the only thing that can repay the debt that they have, because they're the only ones that have that much devotion. You know. So that therefore, if we see that the thing is that proper compensation, and alternately one's own saintly behavior, then you would put the two together. The only compensation is their saintly behavior.
Yes.
Right. Footnote 6. Srila Vishwanath gives the following comments on this verse. Krishna said, "Now please hear what is going on in my mind. Your association with me is faultless and unconditional. Niravadya samyujam. It does not depend on any condition of material desire, kama, fruit of work, karma, worldly opinion, loka, religious codes, dharma, or the injunctions of scripture, shastra. You are all saintly, swasadhu, simply by the good deeds, krityam, you have done. It is not by coming into contact with something that you have become sanctified." Right? So it's not that they perform some activity or this, they become sanctified. They simply are absorbed in Krishna. That's what's brought them to their position. That's what makes them sanctified. right? Others, then they perform great austerities, this and that. Them simply is just being absorbed in Krishna. That makes their position unique. Right? So that's why Krishna is so impressed. Yes.
Comparison to Mother Yasoda is just the volume.
Volume meaning intensity.
Yeah, intensity, not volume.
Yes, no, it'd be intensity. There, but it's also that means all the Brajvasis are you know, this pure unalloyed devotion, but the intensity of the gopis is so much greater.
Because of the rasa.
Yes. Like that. But that means that devotion naturally carries that. The brightness of it and everything is so much more. You know, in other words, just like Nanda Baba, then, you know, it'll be steady, but then occasionally it'll be very much more strong. If a mother showed it's always that strong. And then occasionally there'll be even more. So that more, the gopis are always at that level, and then it's beyond that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's mentioned that Mahaprabhu brought four rasas to present. And then it's mentioned that it's Unata Jvala rasa. So is it a specific Madhurya rasa or for all of them?
Ujvala generally means conjugal rasa. Okay. Like that. It's also known as that. Shringar rasa, Ujvala rasa, Madhurya rasa, Karunya rasa. Mm-hmm. It has all those different names.
So because specific that?
Yes, because that's the uniqueness that he's offering and bringing out that hasn't been given before. Is that means the position of conjugal rasa being on the platform of Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Because otherwise conjugal rasa is there, we see in Dwarka, but then it's husband and wife, so it's 50-50. You know, or we have the conjugal rasa given by Nimbarka, you know, which is also Vrindavan pastimes and the same, you know, been the kunjas and all these things. But the, and the spontaneous devotional service, because it's Vrindavan, so there must be that spontaneity. But it's still not based on that aspect of Vipralamba. They don't accept Vipralamba. They will feel it's a flavor of Sambho. Right? So it doesn't have its own position. Because the natural thing is it will be thought that if there's Vipralamba and there's that anxiety, then how will that be the highest ecstasy? Right? If you're with somebody and you're happy and all that, then that naturally is gonna be the position. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? You know, it's a natural way to think from here, mm-hmm. like that. So it's, unless it's experience, then one wouldn't appreciate it. Right? The acharyas try to explain it, and so therefore we can grasp how much we can. We at least in theory understand that it's acceptable, right? That it's good. So he's come to give that aspect, because that no one's given. Right, so the four rasas are there because those four are in Vrindavan. Right, they're all going on there, you know. And so, but Rupa Goswami mainly talks about the three.
Yeah,
like that, because those are the ones that are dynamic. Those are the drive of the pastimes. Even servitorship is only assisting the other three. It doesn't have its own separate kind of thing. Like the cowherd boys go out; it's its own pastimes. Right. Mother Yashoda, it's her own pastimes. The cowherd boy, I mean the gopis, it's their own pastimes. So basically, from when he gets up until when he leaves for Vrindavan, he's with Mother Yashoda in the morning, right? That time. So that, like, let's say 6 to, I'm not sure when it is, you know, that 9:30, 10, like that. He's with Mother Yashoda. Then he'll go out with the cowherd boys, right, and be there, and then it's just with them. Then he'll leave, you know, and then go with the gopis. Right? Then he'll come back to the cowherd boys, which will then bring him back to Vrindavan, where he'll be with Mother Yashoda. And then he'll go to sleep, and then he'll go out with the gopis. Mm-hmm. So you see is that the pastimes revolve, the Astakalya Lila revolves in those three rasas.
Right.
And then the servitorship assists those.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that would be, you could say, your generic way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. The other would be, it's those three, and like Rupa Goswami says, the servitorship means then those who are maidservants of Radharani, because their relationship with her is servitorship. Mm-hmm.
but it's indirect to Krishna.
Yes. Means there's a conjugal relationship with Krishna, but it's through Radharani. Because the friend of the friend is your friend.
Right.
Because he's Radharani's boyfriend, then that means then Radharani's friends, then he's their boyfriend also. But not directly, as her boyfriend.
Right.
Like that. So it's that Prabhupada mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the position of the maidservants is kind of unique. It's hard to explain. Because it's not your standard relationship.
Yeah.
Like that. So you could take it that it also is meaning that. He's come to give those four rasas. Means he's three. And of that, then the Karunya rasa, the Madhurya rasa. And then what's being, you know, unique, what's being opened is that servitorship within that rasa.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, if you're interested in just the the conjugal rasa sakis, then that also nimbarka is given, and the shris talk about it and things like that. But then the point is then it won't be as, it won't be, that's been given before. What's not been given is being in the position of servant to Radharani.
Yes.
Because her intimacy with Krishna is so much greater than anyone else's. The comparison is given to a mustard seed and Mount Meru. Right? So they don't quite compare. So the mustard seeds have been distributed. You know, like that, but Mount Meru hasn't been. That's what's unique about Lord Chaitanya. Right? So in other words, the Mahabhav, meaning the other gopis, that has been given before. But the Mahabhav above that, where they're servants of Radharani, right, in her,
yes,
you know, tasting of Mahabhava, that hasn't been given before. So in that way, then, if you combine the two, then you can get that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's actually the uniqueness. Because otherwise, those three rasas, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But to give conjugal rasa with that servitorship in connection with Radharani, that's what's not been given. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Maharaj, this has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and documented by the Goswami.
Yes, because the Goswamis are in that position, so they're the ones to document it. So, because the point is preaching means Shakyam.
Yes.
Okay, and who is Radharani's friends?
Sakis.
The Sakis. Yes. But who is always friends? No.
Lalita.
Because sometimes they're also girlfriends of Krishna.
Yeah.
Yes.
The maidservants are known as Nitya Shakis.
Yes.
You understand? So therefore, if we're talking about preaching, which is Shakyam, which is friendship, so that means that has to be stable.
Yes.
Who are going to be the preachers? Those who are Nitya Shakis.
Yes.
So the maidservants are the driving force in the Sankirtan mission.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes Tattva works out after all, right?
Yeah, 6 years. Something's there.
Yeah. Otherwise, I had Tattva.
So, Maharaj, then we can say that Vipralamba, as presented by Mahaprabhu, is specifically shown in Bhoma Lila.
That it's also in the Nitya Lila, but the point is it's in Braj. But yes, Bhoma Lila is there, but the point is it's Braj. Because Nimbarka doesn't give Braj. The Shris aren't talking about Braj. They're all talking about Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
But Ananda Vrindavan Aishwarya Vrindavan and all these different kinds of forms are there. But Braja Vrindavan, that's why we use the term Braja Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because otherwise, you say Braj, you can say Vrindavan.
Yeah.
But I say Braja Vrindavan because you want to be very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, these others already have Radha Krishna pastimes and the mood of the gopis, spontaneous devotional service. These are all there. So what he's giving here is that, just like with the embarkers, I think, you know, you have Radha and Krishna. Right? So when Radharani, you always have two associates. You know? So Radharani has Lalita and Vishakha. Right? The competition has, you know, Shaibya and Bhadra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're in those positions.
Mm-hmm.
The Nimbarkas, then it's Vrinda and Sukadeva. Like that. That's who's standing there. You know,
with
so
Radha Krishna.
Yeah, it's Radha Krishna, and then the right and left, you know, the Bhu and Nila, then that's Vrinda Devi and Sukadev in his, you know, gopi form.
Hmm.
You understand? So the yogpeet is different. So this particular yogpeet, that's what's never been given before. You know, so it's Radha Krishna Lalita Vishakha. Because then under the protection of Lalita, that will be Rupa. And under, you know,
mm-hmm.
So then we're coming in that line. So that connection, that's the most intimate, most fullest form. You know, the original form, you can say. So all these others are expansions of that form for different tasting, different flavors for different devotees. Because Vrindavan is the most attractive pastimes of all the pastimes of the Lord for any sampradaya.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So everybody is interested in the Radha Krishna Lila and Vrindavan pastimes. But they're not interested in Braj. Because then Braj means this aspect of separation. So that's not as attractive to everybody. The others is, you know, the sweetness is there, but then they still like the opulence, you know, or they like the sweetness, and but they're not interested in the opulence, but they're not interested in separation. Right? So this is not interested in the opulence, and, you know, are comfortable with situ, you know, are, you know, immersed in separation. So that position, that's what's unique. That's what Lord Chaitanya is giving. You know? So it's like, you know, you have Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan. So it's at the position. So Govinda is the main deity. But what we're talking about in this connection, you know, so Govinda will be the generic. But what we're talking about specifically is Govinda within the Gopinath aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about those three, we're talking about inside there. So when we say Govinda, we mean there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it works in the main position for everybody. You know, because the cowherd boys are attracted, Mother Jashoda is attracted, everybody's attracted by Govinda. Because his pastimes are so wonderful. But it's the Govinda aspect of Gopinath that we're talking about. That's what's unique. That's what's special. Is that what's it?
Yeah. Because the Gop Kumar, he's changing the 10-syllable mantra. And
yes.
That's exactly the mantra, you know, in that aspect.
Yes, yes. So that's the point. It's because Gopal is attractive to everybody. So that's the generic. So we see is when it's 18, then it has that feature. You know, the 10, the 12, like this, then they have these. The aspects are more tight.
But then 18 would be the most complete.
Yes, because the point is that within Gopinath, you have Madan Mohan of Gopinath, Govinda of Gopinath, and Gopinath of Gopinath. So for when you're doing that, that's what you're working in.
Mm.
But so others, you can also use that. You mean Madan Mohan and generic, Govinda is generic, Gopinath is generic. So that's why we don't have to go out of our way to look for these things. It's just a matter of becoming purified so we understand what we already have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly.
That's the thing. So it's not, that's this separate endeavor to, you know, get into the, you know, the grudge stuff. It's not necessary. We have to be purified because then we'll realize what we have. You know, it's just like, do teenage girls have to go through a sadhana to be able to absorb themselves in boys, think of boys, and be interested in boys? You know, it's a very strict, rigorous, very difficult sadhana. Right? No. All they have to do is just one glance, one sound. That's it. They're done. 24/7. That's all they can think of. Right? So that's the whole point, is that when you purify, then whatever's there, it works.
Because sometimes there's a misunderstanding that you can't really go to the spiritual world without following the Mahaprabhu, whatever Mahaprabhu gave.
Means what Mahaprabhu gave, by following his process, you'll get to the spiritual world quicker than any other process given in any of the other sampradayas. Mm-hmm. Means if you want to go to Vaikuntha, there's no quicker way than joining Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan Mission. Mm-hmm. That in that way. And any of the understandings of whatever it is that their acharyas are given, we can more easily explain it. So all the conclusions are, if there's any doubts, like, you know, the Shri's, they have the water galais, ten galais. Because one says Lakshmi is Jiva, means, you know, and the other says that she's, you know, non-different than Narayan. Mm-hmm. So, Jiva meaning servant. Right? Not that she's Jiva Tattva, but just Jiva, she's, because she's known as Jiva. Because she is the servant. Mm-hmm. All other Jivas are her servant.
Right. Yeah.
So we're actually, you know, Jiva of the Jiva, right? Like that. So, and the two, they don't get along, they don't intermarry, they don't got any programs to the others, that they just have nothing to do with each other. Now, according to us, she is the greatest servant and she's non-different from the Lord. They both work fine. But because they're not, they don't have a chinta beta beta tattva, it has to be for them, one or the other. But Ramanuja's mentioned both. So each one will claim that ours is the original line. And the other's a branch. But the point is he meant both of them. You know, and at different times you bring out how she's the servant, because we're the servant of the servant, like this. But also she's non-different. Therefore, the place in the pastimes, and it's all about them and their pastimes. So it's not just about Krishna. There's Krishna without Radharani, what's the meaning? Right? So there has to be Radha and Krishna. There has to be Lakshmi and Narayan. Because Narayan on his own, what's the meaning? What's the importance unless Lakshmi's there? But now if we're going to worship, then we're as servants of Lakshmi. So both aspects are perfectly valid, but they, you know what I'm saying? So we can give conclusions that they may not catch. Because our philosophy is such that we can deal with all these seeming contradictions. Like that. So that doesn't make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But if you want to get into Braj, then if you don't follow Lord Chaitanya's line and how it's given by the acharyas, you won't get there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like
that. Can we say that we came through Srila Prabhupada, it's an indication of the line that we are going? Because if we get into this opulence or northern opulence, because we are conditioned soul, it's hard to understand what's our real identity and what's our real attraction.
That's there.
Because Kaldang and, you know, it's not
but,
always...
But the only thing is, what's the advantage of that?
No advantage. It just pacifies the mind and stops all this speculation, you know.
Oh, okay. If you're doing like that, it's, yeah, this is what's being offered. Why not take it? Because, you know, it says, oh, but we're from there, they come here, and this and that. Because you see those that come into the line who are interested in other things.
What?
I'm just saying other aspects of the spiritual world. They're not very often. You know? I knew one brahmachari, real austere brahmachari, Gaudiya Math brahmachari. But he always used to do service in ISKCON. He was not interested in the, because he was just saying they're not very, you know, he didn't like the how they were practicing. And he was really, really austere, had nothing. You know, just a few things he needed to wear, and that's it. That's all he had. He was so austere. He was always doing service. There was never any time. He was never lazy or anything. He'd chant his rounds. You know, you had anything you wanted to do, you'd do it, you know. So he was like the, you'd have to say is, well, it'd be hard to say. You'd have to say he was the number two gopher in our movement. Bhumna was the number one. Because he could go and get things, but Bhumna could arrange amazing things. You know, you went send him to the other side of India to bring back a truckload of something, and he could do it. You know, he was also simple and all that. But this Brahmacharya, he was just so totally committed and this and always there. But then in one conversation we were having once, you know, sitting there, some other Brahmacharyas got talking about this and that, the spiritual world. Then we figured out he's not interested in going back to Godhead at all. You know? Oh, because it came up of something about Brahmacharyas are talking about, you know, being Brahmacharyas, and I think, you know, the ladies and this and that, and do they ever get distracted and this and that. And he was like, no, not at all. You know, says, wow, you know, it's just like this and that, you know. So then, you know, that's, you know, you're not connected. It'd be easy to go back to the spiritual world. Not spiritual world. I'm not going. I'm not interested in that. So where do you want to go? He says, I want to go to the heavenly planets. You know, it says, but if you're in the heavens, wouldn't you be in the girls here? You know, it says, no, the girls here, they're like frogs, but those are the heavenly planets. Now those are girls. You know? So he was just like, you know, the bright, you know, like the totally just Brahmacharya, because he just wanted, because he knew by practicing this and being so austere, yes. You know, the potency you'd get to go to the heavenly yes. planets is, you know. Okay. I had no idea. This was back in the 70s, you know, 70s, early 80s. He was old at that time.
So he's not around anymore.
No.
Probably he did.
He was like, I know, we were like in our 20s and he was like 60 or something, but he was our 50s. He was very active. Like that. You know, very austere, very regulated and all that. And no, he's not around anymore. So it's a good chance he's up there in heavenly planets. You know.
So he had knowledge. He just decided that was where he was.
That's where he wanted to apply it. Yeah. He knew this was the best way to get there.
That's rare. Usually.
That's what I'm saying. It's rare, but you have all people who are interested into Vaikuntha.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You have a few that are like that. They're Gaudiyas, but they're totally into Vaikuntha. They're rare. What I'm saying is that it'll be rare, like in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. You only have one or two here or there that is like that. You know, Murari Gupta is the main example. So it's not the... But you also have the Dwarka Vasis are in the pastimes. You know, so Vaikuntha Vasis, Dwarka Vasis, the what do you call it? The demigods, they only see him as Paramatma. You know, like Krishna and Dwarka, they only see him as Paramatma. Like that. They don't... Yeah, you know, it's like that. So you get all that. So the point is if it's just a matter of just, you know, relax and just get involved here and don't worry about it, it's all taken care of. But at the same time, is it also can bring up all kinds of speculation the other way. So that's one of those things that's just not really talked about. If the fact is there and that makes your mind peaceful, great. But if the fact is there and that's what gets you all, you know, disturbed and into the mystical and this and that, and so then, you know, does that mean we're all, you know, like this? Then better you don't do that. So, does that make sense? Yeah, so you have to balance between making peaceful the devotional side or the soul, side of the soul, but you have to be careful of, depending on what is your conditioning on disturbing that side. Depending upon which I say, particular latitude and longitude apply. Okay. Yeah. So, you know. Yeah. Okay. Okay. It is impossible for me to repay what you have done. Therefore, let your own pure character be the payment. That is, your good character makes you forgive me for my fault, and that way I have no debt. Not that he can pay by that. It's just that their good character is such that there be forgiving because of their good character, and therefore they'll be able to forgive Krishna that he can't repay the debt.
Yes.
So that will be the repayment of their debt, is that they don't hold Krishna that he owes the debt. Yeah. But still, I remain indebted to you, right? So they don't feel he has a debt, but he's still indebted anyway. Then the gopis began to consider in their minds, even though Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is full of all transcendental qualities, devoid of the slightest trace of any fault, and knows all about our love for him, in order to establish the superiority of our love for him and to make himself indebted to us, he has performed this act of giving us up. We who wanted to defeat Krishna and criticize him for his conduct with our riddles have been most immoral in our intent, whereas he desired only to establish our exalted position. We could never act like that. Thus, in effect, we have become conquered by Krishna's love. Sardartha Darshani 10.32.22. Right, so therefore, they're showing, Krishna's showing how he's conquered by them and cannot repay. And then they're showing how they've been conquered by him. Right? So that's the affection. Right? It goes both ways. So that's the whole point. They never see any fault or anything like that. Is that some sense?
But when they get angry at Krishna, they do see all faults.
They're angry at Krishna, but how do you express anger unless you point out a fault? How will you know you're angry?
Here they don't express any anger, but
because they've already given their riddles. They've already expressed it, you know. That they're trying to ask him what kind of Atmarama is he. You know, like that. So indirectly you say, you know, are you the kind of Atmarama that's just self-satisfied and doesn't notice anybody else? Or the kind of Atmarama that's totally into themselves and not anybody else? Or, you know what I'm saying? So naturally, any one of the you know, it's not necessarily good. You know? So that's why they were saying, by our riddles. We wanted to defeat Krishna and criticize him for his conduct with our riddles. They wanted to defeat him in the argument and chastise him. But instead of doing it directly, they do it with riddles. You know, therefore the same, they're soft-spoken. Right? But, you know, but he by pointing out his affection for them, like that, you know, and how he has to deal with all devotees as they surrender. You know, but he wanted to at the same time point out their greatness. Right? Because the point is Krishna goes away and you see the reaction of the others. We've mentioned it. But the reaction of the gopis, you don't see anybody like that. You know, so therefore it's pointing out their position and how great that is and how he's indebted to them. You know, but at the time they were taking it that he's, you know, they've given up everything, come to him, and then he's just walking out on them. So then, you know, like that. Dividing the first phase. Oh, just another one. It was just interesting before. Okay. Yeah, no. Okay. Dividing the phrase swasadhu krityam differently yields yet another understanding. Asadhu krityam. What is it?
Su.
No, but you have swasadhu. So the su, you can get su. Oh, here it is. I didn't see the here. Su asadhu krityam, yeah. Which changes to swasadhu krityam because of the sandhi. Su, if it's followed by an A, changes to a V. Because you can't say sua. You know, like that. That's what you say when you call the pigs, when you're calling them to eat. Like that. So it changes to a V. Right? Means very unvirtuous acts. Thus, Krishna indicates that even the things the gopis do that lack virtue, such as behaving cruelly towards him, are glorious. Even those acts, Krishna suggests, contribute to absolving his debt. So what then of the pious things the gopis do? Krishna says this to the gopis out of greed to enjoy with them in all situations, no matter how they treat him. Right? So he wants to be with them no matter how they treat him. So that's the whole thing. So these are the... You understand? So though they show exactly how relationships work, the point is if you bring it down too much, then people once see his in a mundane, or see our own as too divine. Like that, you know. Yeah. Unfortunately, Krishna cannot properly repay the service of the gopis, who have offered him their faultless bodies. Niravadya samyujam. Krishna is encumbered by various household duties of his own, like constant duty to tend his cows. He cannot abandon his responsibilities and serve the gopis properly. Ma bhajan. And Krishna's other obligations are unbreakable. Dur jara, like strong metal chains. Shrin kala, as implied by the prefix sam, completely. In the word samvriksha, completely cutting off. Right? Because you have cutting off, but completely cutting off. Right? You cut off, but then there's sometimes you don't cut off. Yeah. But they're completely cutting off means it's just cut off. Krishna might be able to put aside his inner attachment to these engagements, but he cannot avoid being externally involved in them. Right? So the gopis, then he's externally involved because he must reciprocate with the devotees. He must be present in his interaction with the cowherd boys, Mother Jashoda, and everybody like that. Though internally, he might be cut off and just absorbed in the gopis, but externally, he has to be fully there. But we see the gopis, and they're performing their household duties. They're not there. Somehow or another, just by arrangement of yoga maya, then the duties go on nicely, because Krishna always takes care of the devotees. So even though they're not so expert, they become very expert. So it's just by habit they're doing them. But they're technically not there. You know what I'm saying? But Krishna has to be there, because he's dealing with the devotees. You know, but that's his glory, is that he always... So because they interact with him, he responds. So it's also, you know, his glory's in there. But all it is he's pointing out, is their position is so unique that it's even unique to him. That's why he comes as Radharani to taste that. Right? Because otherwise, in his position as Vishnu, he has to act and reciprocate with everybody as they surrender. Right? But the gopis, they don't have to do that. Does that make sense? Okay. Krishna thinks that unless he offers himself to the gopis completely, as they have offered themselves to him, unless he worships them in absolute exclusive devotion, disregarding everything else, he cannot requite their love. He remains in debt because in his dealings with them, he has broken the vow he made in Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstadaga bhajamyaham. As all surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So they're totally surrendered exclusively. So that means he's to reciprocate with exclusive involvement with them only. Yes. But he can't do that. Yes. Because he has all the devotees to reciprocate with. Yes. So that again puts them in the superior position. So that's the thing. He's the superior, but at the same time, as he's putting them in the superior position. In all humility, Krishna sweetly requests the gopis that for their saintly behavior they agree to be repaid by their own saintly qualities, sadhuna. Or if we take the word sadhuna to mean by a saintly devotee, Krishna suggests that although he himself cannot reciprocate it adequately, perhaps in the future some of his devotees will become followers of the gopis and serve them faithfully. So they'll be repaid by that.
Yes.
So, yeah. Answers your previous question. 139. Okay. Dear gentle Uddhava, go to Braja and give pleasure to our parents. and also relieve the gopis suffering in separation from me by giving them my message. Text 139 to 146 were spoken by Sri Krishna to his dear servant and best of advisors, Uddhava. This verse and the three that follow come from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10:46, 3 through 6. In the first half of this verse, Krishna follows the way of ordinary dealings by using Uddhava to console his mother and father. In the second half, he directs Uddhava to give special attention to the gopis. What we say about another person when that person is absolutely absent usually indicates our true feelings more reliable than what we say in their presence. Therefore, Krishna's confidential statements to Uddhava about the gopis confirm that Krishna does indeed feel as indebted to them as he claimed while speaking with them. Right? Because otherwise, it might be he's just speaking these things because he's smooth.
Yes.
You know, that's all. He's a good talker. Right?
Yes.
You know, he wants to enjoy with the gopis, and if he doesn't think fast on his feet here, then he's going to, you know, it's not going to work out. But so here, then, the point is what you say to someone else about that. If you glorify someone else, then you know that that's what they feel. Because otherwise, to their face, you may say one thing or the other thing, but what you say to others then actually shows. So if you say, you know, you're a neutral state there, but then you criticize, or you're a neutral state, and then you're very nice, right, then you can understand. Right, so Krishna said this, but now that he's again repeating it to Uddhava, then it confirms that this is actually how he feels. Huh? Krishna wanted to do what would most help the gopis obtain his full mercy. So instead of going to Vrindavan himself, he dispatched Uddhava. He hoped that the message Uddhava was to convey would pacify the Brajvasis, whose feelings of separation were burning them like an uncontrolled forest fire. Krishna's message was meant to sprinkle on them the nectar of his company and give them some hope that they might see him again. The name Uddhava means festival. So by using this name, Krishna implies that just by meeting Uddhava, the Brajvasis should feel very much encouraged. And Krishna refers to himself by using the plural noun Naha, either because he feels proud to be the son of Nanda and Jashoda, or because he thinks that since Nanda and Jashoda accept Balaram also as their son, they should accept Uddhava the same way. Surely Uddhava deserves this treatment. He is amply endowed with saintly humility and with pure devotion for Krishna. So he should give Nanda and Jashoda great satisfaction by his uncontrived skill in delivering Krishna's message. Right, so it means he's not just a professional speaker. It means that he'll go and what he'll say will be very natural and all that. So that will then make them very happy. That it's not that he's just an expert at speaking. It's not political, right, this approach. Uddhava is Somya, very mild by nature. Or else Soma indicates that since Uddhava is as beautiful as the moon, Soma, Nanda and Jashoda will be very much pleased just by seeing him, right? Because that was, we were saying before, is one of the qualities of the king. So he has the quality of the moon, which is just by seeing, then you are happy, right? They're just very soothing. Just they look very nice. You're just happy, like that. So Uddhava's like that. Because he looks like Krishna. Like that. To pacify the gopis, however, will require more than merely Uddhava's finesse. Right? So just he comes, he speaks nicely, you know, sweetly, delivers a message from Krishna, then that will be enough. But for the gopis, it will require a little bit more. Right? The gopis feel the pain of separation from Krishna so deeply that to revive them, his own words must be conveyed. Or else Krishna is saying that nothing less than his own words, with their pleasing tone and special connotations, will pacify both his parents and the gopis. Still, though by hearing his message his mother and father will become happy, the gopis will feel only limited relief. So great is their love for him that they can never feel content in his absence. Footnote 7. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said, has this to say on the subject. Krishna said to Uddhava, Uddhava, the mental pain of separation from me is bound within the gopi's heart with a strong rope. You can release them from this by my messages, not by your expertise in speech. And it will be done by many messages. It is not one message on jnana yoga, analysis and detachment, nor after that by two messages containing instructions on how to attain me and then words of consolation. These messages will simply burn to ashes in the blazing fire of their prema. So you just say it. They're not going to get anywhere. These ones. But the gopis will finally be freed from sorrow by hearing my confidential instructions, indirectly spoken, which should be revealed to them and no one else. Sardartha Darshani 10.46.3. So when they're alone, that's when Uddhava then speaks to them. He doesn't speak to them, you know, gently. You speak to Mother Nanda and Jashoda, you can speak actually in front of others.
Yes.
But to the gopis, you can't speak in front of anybody, right? Because all the little nuances and that, what Krishna mentioned. Right? Many confidential instructions. So where was it before it said that? Special connotations. Pleasing tone and special connotations. So the special connotations, and you can only say them in front of the gopis. Right? Because one is if they're... it means one is others, means the special connotations, so others may or may not understand them.
Yes.
Right? If they don't, fine, but if they do, it's a problem.
Yes.
Right? Because like other gopis might understand them. Yes. Right? And two is, even if they, no one understands them and the gopis understand them, how can they respond? Because they can't fully respond because others are there. So if it's just the gopis, then they can fully respond to the message. Right? They'll understand it fully, they can respond fully. So then they can be satisfied. But otherwise, it'd be too restricted of an environment. Right? 140. The minds of those gopis are always absorbed in me, and their very lives are ever devoted to me. For my sake, they've abandoned everything related to their bodies, including ordinary happiness in this life, and their religious duties needed for happiness in the next. Therefore, I take it upon myself to sustain those gopis in all circumstances. It's almost like a personalized, you know, verse from the Gita. You know, about how they're always absorbed in me and their lives are ever devoted to me, you know, like that. But it's specifically to the gopis, so very far out. In this verse, Krishna tells Uddhava why the gopis need to be so carefully consoled. He also explains why he feels so obliged to them and what attributes set them apart as his greatest devotees. Because the gopis always think about Krishna, they appear as if possessed by insanity. Right? Because we were saying before that they do all their duties nicely. Like that. They do them all perfectly. So the skills and all that are there, but because they're not technically there in mood, the other family members think they're crazy. Like that. You know, so they just kind of leave them alone, which is better.
Yes.
Right? They're doing their duties so no one can complain, so there's nothing wrong. But at the same time, as they're not really there in their mood, so therefore they all think they're insane.
Yes.
So they leave them alone. Then it just makes it so much easier. And because Krishna is their very life and soul, whenever he goes any distance away from them, they seem on the verge of death. In the past, they express their unalloyed devotion for him by making great sacrifices. For his sake, they gave up the company of their husbands, children, and homes. But now that they live in Braja without him, they feel desolate, because they cannot resort to any other shelter than him. The gopis have actually sacrificed everything for Krishna. Why don't they just go to Mathura to be with him? They don't because he promised he would soon return to Braja. That promise, as well as their concern for Krishna's happiness, keeps them from abandoning their physical responsibilities to their husbands, children, and so on, and keeps them nicely dressing and ornamenting themselves. Otherwise, the gopis would simply walk away from their families and cast aside their fine clothing and jewelry. Krishna sent them from Mathura. The gopis have no attachment to any of these. Right? So that's the whole point. Is by relationship, that's also what's seen there, is that the nice ornaments, the nice dress, all these different things like that, those have a value if there's a relationship.
Yes.
Right? Yes. If there's no relationship, then they have no value. One might say, "Is no," but in the modern, then ladies, then they dress up, they do this because they're hoping for a relationship. Right? I mean, so they didn't think it was possible to find somebody, they wouldn't be doing it. Right? That's the whole point. So it's all about relationship. So we see is that position of detachment is that if there's no relationship here, why be attached? That's why, because we don't have the relationship's not about here. It's about with Krishna. Therefore, here, we just keep just what we need.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We interact with devotees in that, yes. But it's the point is the husband's a devotee, the children are devotees, or we see them in relationship to Krishna. That's what we're doing. So, like there, then they maintain their duties, like that. Mm-hmm. But as far as actual being absorbed in it, that's not actually there. So they do their duties. So it's the duties to dress nicely, do things nicely, do everything nicely. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, it's just about Krishna. Does that make sense? So the form looks proper here, but actually the attitude is all about there, just like the gopis. They're performing their duties, but it's all about Krishna. So, again, we've been given the highest. And it's just a matter of realizing that.
It's just a detail.
Yes, small detail. We just have to realize, you know. Footnote 8. Srila Vishwanath gives another reason why the gopis don't live Vrindavan. Krishna said, "The minds of the women in Gokula are fixed in meditation on me, in the dress of a cowherd boy, adorned with gunja berries, colored ox eyes, flute, and peacock feathers, and engaged in playing with them in Gokula. Why should they come to Mathura? Besides, I do not desire to bring them here." Right, because if they come there, he'll be dressed as a king. So that's not the form that is dear to them.
Yes.
Plus, if they come there, how will they be able to do what they can do? So then they can't do what he can't reciprocate because they're in that kingly environment, the environment of majesty. So he doesn't want to bring them there either, because then they wouldn't, neither of them would be able to interact.
Yes.
So therefore, it's proper that they stay in Braj, because there, then they can, you know, everything there will remind them of him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that'll work perfectly. For the sake of Krishna, the gopis have put aside all hopes for success in this life and the next. They have abandoned all expectations of material happiness, loka, and spiritual happiness, dharma. Krishna confesses that because the gopis are so perfectly surrendered to him, he takes it as his duty to maintain them, give them strength, and assure their happiness. So as I was mentioning the page before that, right? Right, is unconditional, right? So it does not depend on any conditional desire, karma, fruit of work, karma, worldly opinion, loka, religious codes, dharma, and the injunctions of scripture, shastra. Right? So it doesn't depend on any of that. So they're just following the scriptural rules just because it pleases Krishna. They're not doing it because of the benefit they'll get from it. And that's their following the dharma, let alone karma they have a material desire to fulfill. Karma that they, you know, they want to go to the heavenly planets or get some other, that's next life, you know, the karma right now, the karma, the next life. Loka, you know, worldly opinion, they really just don't care about that. So if there's anything that's, you know, pretty standard in our particular minds, we really couldn't care less about worldly opinion. So if we introduce this thing as though we have to be taken worldly opinion, then it's not our line. You know, try someone else. try the Shrees or something. I don't know. It's not our line.
They don't care.
They don't care either, right? Mudras don't care like that, and Embarkers don't seem to care either. You know, Shankaras.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Well then. Okay. Taking another life. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's not about karma, because that, well, you know, that's of course bogus. Karma, that's, they're not going to worry about. Worldly opinion, yes. Dharma, forget it. You know, like that.
But they do care about dress.
About?
Dress.
Yes. But it's not about Krishna. Because they dress how it pleases Krishna. They dress how it pleases themselves. You know? Prabhupada says, dress to please others. Eat to please yourself. They eat and dress to please themselves. You say it's for others, but it's not. Like, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about the Western. I mean, it's all over the world. It's that particular kind of Western things. You have this kind of social position. I don't know how I would describe it. Preppy. Yeah? You all know preppy? Yeah? They go to the prep schools, you know, Harvard, Yale, all these kind of schools. Mm-hmm. They have a particular way they dress, a particular way they do everything. They even have their own language. Like that. They can tell who's preppy and who's not by how they talk. Like that. Now that, you could say, is representative of, that would be the culture of the, if you said that first world culture in its own thing, not new world, not old world. Old world would be European, but new world would be that. But they're very careful. They know exactly how you dress for different situations. They dress not according to the fashions, but they have within their fashion, it has very strict rules. You know, when you go play golf, you dress in one way. When you go out for a casual dinner, you dress another. It's a formal dinner in another way. You know, you hang out at home, you dress another way. You know, like this. So this idea that you dress in one way in all occasions, it's not, it's, it doesn't match. It doesn't match an old world, it doesn't match a new world. So it doesn't, it's not first world. It's something else. So. What, I have no idea. No need to speculate.
I think for us it's simple, you know, Kopina Kanta Shrita.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So we're wearing a dhoti, be happy, right? You know, you could be walking down the street in a copan and a blanket, right? And there's a better chance, if you look the part, that there'd be more people coming to you as a guru than if you wore Western clothes, right? You know? At least you look like a Baba, right? You know. Okay. Krishna confesses that. Krishna confesses that because the gopis are so perfectly surrendered to him, he takes it as his duty to maintain them, give them strength, and assure their happiness. Krishna alone is the real source of happiness for the gopis. And he is a real protector, much more than their husbands. Therefore, Uddhava should agree to carry Krishna's message to Braja, right? Because Krishna is the one who has to do it. So he's asking Uddhava that he should carry it, because he can give it properly. Like that. Because if he goes there, then this problem is, if he goes, then the pain of thinking he'll leave again will be greater, because he still has duties to perform. So if he sends somebody and then gives that message, they'll know he still cares. And then there's still the chance that he might come back. Yes. Right? Well, if he comes back, then he leaves, and that's it. Here, Krishna uses the masculine forms of the pronouns yea and tan, because man or woman, any devotee who has such pure love interests, love deserves his protection. Nonetheless, the gopis, through their womanly nature, manifest unique qualifications. They have made what for women is the supreme sacrifice by abandoning for Krishna's sake their social connections, loka, and their feminine virtues of shyness and chastity, dharma. Okay, so here also we see is that yea and tan, because he's mentioning the masculine form, so that makes it general. So that's the Sanskrit principle, is that if it's masculine form, it's general. right? And then if it's feminine, then it's specific. Right? So that's why then in English, Prabhupada, when he talks about the soul, in general, he uses the term he. Right? So they all deserve protection, but at the same time, the gopis, then their unique qualifications, because they gave up the social connections, loka, and their chastity and shyness, dharma. Right? So they're just always absorbed in Krishna. Uddhava may worry that the gopis, having abandoned everything, must be wandering aimlessly in the wilderness. How then will he be able to find them? And furthermore, since they have rejected all social ties, they must have become like mad women haunted by ghosts. How then will he be able to reason with them? Krishna assures Uddhava that even though the gopis have, for his sake, abandoned loka and dharma, he watches over them and protects them. He continues to provide them the same worldly and super-worldly benefits they have rejected. Thus, when Uddhava reaches Vrindavan, he will find the gopis at home with their husbands and children and of sane mind. Okay, so even though the devotees have rejected all material things, Krishna still provides those material things. Right? Because then you have to have an environment in which to function. Right? So then just whatever's according to one's nature, then one has that, then one's functioning within that. Right, because that's not what has to change. What has to change is the mentality. Yes. We change the mentality, we're absorbed in Krishna. That's what Krishna is looking for.
Yes.
That's what he wants. It's not that one's given up anything. Because anything you're giving up is Krishna anyway. So. What's more, Krishna personally continues to provide even for the husbands and children the gopis have mentally abandoned. There's no need to worry that the families of the gopis might be uncared for, or that the community might have ostracized the husbands for having wives who have abandoned religious principles. Krishna is protecting the gopis' families, and of course, he's protecting the gopis themselves and their religious principles, right? So nothing will work on... So, therefore, Krishna will take care. So if you practice Krishna consciousness, give up everything for Krishna,
yes,
then naturally everything will work nicely, right? Everything will work, will function properly. The society will deal properly. Everything will go on nicely. So, yeah.
Maharaj, why sometimes, or most of the time, it is faith is not there.
Which is not there?
Faith is not there in the sense that if you practice Krishna consciousness, Krishna will provide, will care.
Because then they're worried that someone will blame later if they are not in a Krishna conscious state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That if something goes wrong, I don't want to be to blame, therefore... Just let everybody do whatever they like. Don't say anything. Don't get involved. Then less blame for yourself. So no risk.
No risk, yes.
So no risk, no result.
Yes.
So the point is, you have to take risk that, no, this is the system, but it's a personal choice. So you have chosen this. Krishna will take care.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then how he takes care, then that you have to leave up to him how he does that. Because then if we say, okay, he'll take care of it, he'll take care in this way, then if we get upset, then that's another thing. Because the point is if you're in this mood like the gopis are, there never comes a point where you doubt.
Yes.
Because you're always absorbed in Krishna, so therefore there's no distraction. There's nothing else that bothers you. So yeah, so there has to be that mood that, no, this is what will work. You know, so we see the duties are all going on, everything's happening. So we're not saying don't do that. But we say give up doing the duties because they will give the particular karmic or you know, how you say, the benefits on the social connections, loka, dharma, you know, for the future things, all these things. Give it up for that. Give up doing it for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Do your duties just because it will please Krishna. That's sarva dharma paritya. Not give up all religion so you do no religion.
Yes.
Right? The sarva dharma pratyajaya means you give up doing your activities for anything other than serving Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason you do it.
Yes.
Is that so?
Yes.
Krishna is protecting the gopis' families, and of course he's protecting the gopis themselves and their religious principles. Through his personal energies, Krishna provides for the needs of the husbands and children, so what doubt can there be that he maintains the gopis? He supplies the worldly needs, loka, maintains the integrity of their religious duties as women, street dharma, and keeps them strongly engaged in the primary interest and highest dharma, nam samkirtan, and the other essential aspects of devotional service to him. Footnote 9. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, Krishna said, they have understood that I alone am dear to them, and not any other husband of their own. Not any other husband of their own. Not only am I dear, but I am the dearest of all. Not only am I the dear most, but they think of me as their very selves, and as the supersoul. Since I, their soul, am living here in Mathura, they believe that their souls have left their bodies, and only by my inconceivable yogamaya potency are they still living. I sustain the neophyte sadhakas who renounce the world and its mundane religiosity for my sake. What then to speak of the gopis? Right? So if the neophytes who renounce the world and its mundane religiosity serve Krishna, Krishna takes care, why wouldn't he take care of the gopis? Right? So that means if the gopis are at one end and the neophyte at the other end, that means everybody in between is taken care of. So. Like that. But the common point is renouncing the world and its mundane religiosity. That's the point. Right. 141. My dear Uddhava, for those women of Gokula, I am the most cherished object of love. Thus, when they remember me, who am so far away, they are overwhelmed by the anxiety of separation. Here Krishna speaks to his friend Uddhava with deep concern for the gopis. Never, he tells Uddhava, has he seen in anyone such distress as the gopis now suffer, nor has he ever heard of such misery in any historical or literary account. At every moment the gopis are so beside themselves in the bewilderment of separation that they seem ready to leave their bodies for the abode of death. In this world, one's spouse, children, and friends are generally very dear. Yet more dear is one's own body, and still more dear the vital air of life. More dear than life is dharma. Just thinking it. We're talking about tradition here, right? What do you mean? Dharma would have been the first one to go here on my list. Yeah. And still more dear is moksha, and even more dear is Krishna bhakti, pure devotional service to Krishna. Krishna bhakti finds its perfect culmination in unalloyed prema. Because the gopis are more advanced in Krishna prema than anyone else, they are most dear to the Supreme Lord and his devotees. For the gopis, Krishna himself is the most dear object of attraction. When he goes far away to Mathura and remains there, the gopis nearly drown in the anxiety of separation and stay alive only by the faint hope that he will come back to them. Unable to think and act coherently, they become as if insane. They fall into obsessive remembrance of Krishna, thinking about how they used to associate with him. And they become so confused and distant from reality that it becomes difficult to verify that they are still alive. The gopis suffer greatly when Krishna leaves them for even a moment. But when he leaves Vrindavan for Mathura, they approach the extreme limit of distress. Yet, even though the greatness of their pain often overwhelms their minds, the gopis cannot help but remember Krishna. Right, because much of the time when the mind goes, then you become unconscious or things like that. But they just remember Krishna, no matter what the situation. No matter how distressful, how disturbing, they're always absorbed in Krishna. Krishna calls Uddhava, Anga, dear friend, to remind Uddhava, I am dependent on your skills as a messenger and counselor to save the lives of the gopis by delivering my message. Having described the general condition of the women of Braja, Gokula Striya, Krishna in the next section will focus his attention on the Braja gopis who are most dear to him, the young gopis such as Sri Radhika. Right, so now he's described generically the gopis. Right, so now he'll go into more detail. That's 62. That's 61. Oh, okay.
Udava has a special position in order to do this type of
service. Yes, yes. No, that's right. That's why he's the dearmost of all the devotees in Mathura. I mean, in Dwarka, because he alone can actually relate to the Brajabasis. The others, it's like they're friends and relatives and like that, but, you know, they can't relate to this position of the gopis and that.
Yes.
They just, you know, they can relate. Nanda Baba's there and his relationship with Vasudev, and he brought up his son, and, you know, like this. And many of the, you know, the Vrishnis and that took shelter in Nanda Maharaj's kingdom, you know, hiding away from Kamsa, and like this. And so that they can appreciate. But the affection that the gopis have for Krishna, that then they're not, that's not their thing, but Uddhava can, so that's what makes him special. 142. Simply because I have promised to return to them. My fully devoted cowherd girlfriends struggled to somehow or another maintain their lives. In the previous verse, Krishna is describing all the ladies of Braja, old as well as young. Now he turns to his youngest cowherd girlfriends. As impossible as it seems to Krishna, these dear gopi girlfriends, including Chandravali, even though on the constant verge of death from the pain of separation, manage somehow to survive. Krishna is ashamed to confess that he intends to lie to the gopis. Yet he must explain the contents of the message he is asking Uddhava to carry. Uddhava must ensure the gopis that Krishna will come back to them very soon. This should save the gopis from the grips of death, just as a message saved them once before, when Akura had taken Krishna and Balaram away from Gokula. At that time, Krishna sent a messenger with a promise that he would return after only a few days. And since the simple gopis had faith in Krishna's words, they found in this promise the strength to tolerate the disappointment of losing him. The anticipation of soon again enjoying the beauty of Krishna gave them solace. Aware of how daunting the task must appear, Krishna explains to Uddhava that the gopis, headed by Radhika, have dedicated themselves life and soul to him alone. Only by Krishna's special efforts to keep them alive do their souls stay in their bodies. The gopis are burning in a fire of viraha bhava, but Krishna is still struggling to save them. Right, so this is, you know, some very, you know, very major kind of thing. So Krishna himself is maintained, but he has to make an effort. Right. So, but we see here is that he's making the effort. He's not just leaving it up to the internal potency to take care of. Right? He himself is personally taking care of. Right there. As Krishna indicates by the words praya, most of the gopis have somehow managed to survive, but some of them have already died, and others, sad to say, will also be lost. As the fire of separation grows in intensity, for the gopis to stay alive becomes more and more difficult. In truth, only by the shelter of Krishna's personal power, provided secretly, are the gopis surviving at all. Krishna doesn't want to admit this to Uddhava, who might rebuke him for preserving the gopis' lives. Were Krishna to allow the gopis to leave their bodies, their suffering would end. But by keeping them alive, he is only prolonging and intensifying their torment. Yet there is something else for Uddhava to consider. Krishna will share the gopis' fate. Krishna needs to be saved as much as they do. Therefore, Uddhava should take most seriously the mission of bringing the gopis a message of renewed hope. Right? So Krishna is staying, you know, because they're there. Yes. Because otherwise, if they weren't there, then why would he stay?
Yes.
Right? Yes. So therefore, since he has a mission to perform, you know, to deliver the world, to attract the world, to, you know, remove the irreligious elements, therefore he has to be present to do that.
Yes.
To be present, then the gopis have to be present. For devotees too pained by the account of the gopis' inner torment, this fourth verse of instruction to Urva can be interpreted in a different way. One that places more emphasis on how Krishna plans to maintain the gopis' lives. Two verses before, Krishna gave his assurance that he sustains the gopis through all difficulties. Tan bibharmyaham. Krishna thus promised to arrange somehow or other for the gopis' happiness. And now Krishna tells just how Uddhava can help. The way to keep the gopis alive is to bring them Krishna's message, promising his return. Although to save them is practically impossible, this message may keep the breath of life barely flowing in the gopis' throats. Uddhava should visit the gopis and convince them. Sri Nanda Nandan is returning very soon. He is already on the way. He is practically here already.
Just now coming, he's coming from
there. Yes, yes, that's where it is. See? It's a tradition, just now. Both aspects are the tradition. That you say it just now coming, but it also means it's not coming. 143. The residents of Vrindavan, headed by the gopis, were always completely attached to me with deepest love. Therefore, when my uncle Akrura brought my brother Balaram and me to the city of Mathura, the residents of Vrindavana suffered extreme mental distress in separation from me and could not find any other source of happiness. When did it switch that it used to be that you would say Balaram and I? No, knows when it switched?
For abroad, so you go with me instead of I.
Well, brought my brother brought Balaram me. And. Oh, but then, yeah, okay,
you
me instead of or myself.
Right.
Okay. Objective. Okay, that goes with my, okay.
Objective record. It's
okay.
An objective case.
Okay.
So it's always me.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't work there. You wouldn't say brought I.
Okay.
You'd say brought me. So you say brought Balaram and me.
But you used to be able to say, if you didn't say my brother, you say, my uncle Kuro brought Balaram and I to the city of Mathura.
It would still be me that.
Huh?
It would still be me. If you take out Balaram, you say, my uncle Kuro brought me, it would be me instead of I. That's how it always goes.
No, well, that was a kid. It's the other way around.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just depends on how you say. If someone took you somewhere, you would always say me.
Yeah, but that's just singular. But when it's somebody else and...
Oh, was it
it's just like, yeah, just like, hey, who's there? You don't say it's me. You say it is I.
But the verb to be...
Huh?
The verb to be is, takes... the subjective case before and after. It's very complex English.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you say it is I, that's correct.
Okay, because you're mentioning about the existence.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's subjective. But in every other verb, it's objective.
Okay, and then it becomes me. Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Sorry.
No, because the thing was is you generally always have to correct people because they'll always just say me. They'll never use I.
Yeah, well, they say me sometimes when it's incorrect, when you should say I.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's more common.
But also, as you hear English sometimes, like in that case, it sounds like it might be wrong, me, but in fact it's grammatically correct.
Grammatically correct. Okay. Cool. Very good. Okay. The next four verses recited by Parikshit Maharaj to his mother, text 143 through 146, come from Krishna's discussions with Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. 11, 12, 10 through 13, when Krishna and Uddhava were together in Dwarka. Krishna explained to Uddhava the great value of associating with saintly devotees of the Lord. Discussing this topic reminded Krishna of the most exalted of all saintly Vaishnavas, his own beloved gopis. And this so overwhelmed Krishna's heart that he digressed to speak these four verses. King Kamsa engaged Akrura, the son of Swapalka, to bring Krishna to Mathura. Whatever it took, Krishna was reluctant to make the trip. But Akrura used his wits to convince Vasudeva and Balaram that going to Mathura was unavoidable. By referring to Akrura as the noble son of Swapalka, Swapalka being a worthy descendant of Yadu, Krishna is telling Uddhava that the Brajabasis, including Krishna himself, have to excuse Akrura. After all, Akrura was only doing what he thought necessary to protect his dynasty from the wrath of Kamsa. Lord Balaram, who was present when Akrura came to Vrindavan, could have expertly pacified the Brajabasis, as he had done previously when Krishna seemed imperiled in the grip of Kaliya. But this time, somehow, he made no such attempt. And when Akrura approached Balaram to present the plight of Vasudeva, Devaki, and the other Yadus, who were living in fear and misery under the rule of Kamsa, it was Balaram who gave his consent for taking Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura. Had it not been for this, Krishna might never have left Vrindavan. After Krishna departed, the gopis could find no other object of delight for their eyes. Whatever they saw reminded them that Krishna was gone, and this only made them more miserable. With the supreme desirable object removed from their sight, everything else appeared worthless. Separation from Krishna was like a persistent throbbing in the head that made enjoying anything in life impossible. Even before Krishna left, the gopis' attraction to him had been obsessive, but now it was utterly out of control. And it tormented them like a raging fever in the brain. They entered the rarest state of ecstasy, in which nothing around them seemed able to give any happiness. Uddhava might wonder why the gopis, whose wisdom is praised by the most learned sages, continued to be attracted to Krishna even after he had caused them so much anguish. Krishna's answer is that the gopis' love for him was so extremely intense that nothing, not even his mistreatment of them, could impede it, as the sage Parasara describes. Madhusudana gave so much delight to the gopis that later, when he was absent, a moment seemed to them like 10 million years. So we say 12 years or more, then it means, 12 to 10 million years, Vishnu Purana 5.13.58. In this Puranic verse, Parasara was describing to Maitreya, some years after the fact, the separation the gopis felt. And thus he used the past tense. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also comments on the significance of the current Bhagavatam verse's usage of past tense. When I was decisively taken to Mathura by Akrura, the gopis did not see anyone other than me to give them happiness. Since their hearts were completely attached to me on the sixth level of prema, anuraga, very intense love, entering the next stage of mahabhava, containing rudhabhava, they suffered intense pain because of separation. The past tense is used. They did not see anything except for me for happiness. This suggests that their suffering ended. After killing Dantavakra, I united with the gopis again and remained in that state. Sardarta Darshini 11, 12, 10. The word gopi can here be understood to be derived from panti. They protect their senses. The gopis protected their senses by keeping them away from material objects. In truth, the gopis were the greatest of self-controlled yogis. But Krishna's charms so entranced them that they became entangled in loving affairs with him and therefore suffered. Where was this footnote? Oh, there it was. I thought it was a quote. Okay. Okay, after praying comes pranaya, sneha, raga, mana, aduraga, and mahabhava. Okay. Madhusudan is the name of a particular bee well known for its rapacious nature of greedily collecting honey from many lotus flowers. And another Madhusudan, known as Krishna, took from the gopis and ruined Sudhayati, all their honey, madhu, all their attractive, enjoyable qualities. He stole everything they had. Krishna here confesses to Uddhava that it is simply his nature to attract all sorts of people, exploit them for his own pleasure, enjoy them to his full, and then go away and leave them miserable. In the message Krishna was instructing Uddhava to carry, Krishna might have said that he himself endured as much torment and separation from the gopis as they did in separation from him. But the facts prove otherwise. The gopis surrendered to Krishna with absolute dedication, as he himself would describe in the next two verses. Krishna, however, as he confessed to Uddhava, is not nearly as surrendered to them. Krishna may have a high reputation as the most exalted of saintly persons, but in his own opinion, expressed in these verses, the gopis are much more virtuous. In them there is not a trace of cruelty or ingratitude, and pure love for him like theirs is not to be found anywhere else. So it's just a matter of seeing those same points that were made before about how Krishna, he's interacting with all the devotees. Yes. Well, the gopis are just basically interacting with him.
Yes.
So that aspect is then, you can be looked at it so many variety of ways in which then it makes it, you know, Krishna will put himself in a bad light.
Yes.
You know, that he's there interacting with the Yadavas, and so there he's enjoying himself, he's having happy time, he's with the queens there and everything like that. But that's because he's reciprocating their affection. As we'd already mentioned before, he's only thinking of the gopis. But in any case, he's still interacting. Well, the gopis, they can't enjoy anything. They can't interact with anything.
You know?
So then one might look at it that, okay, you're saying that Krishna says, I'm suffering as much as they are, which he is, but because he also has the duties to interact with everybody else, he's doing that. So by looking at the facts, right, because the facts are what you perceive with the senses, then you would say that he's saying he's suffering as much as the gopis, but he seems to be doing fine, right? Well, the gopis aren't. So therefore, then he has to be very careful in how he words this or discusses it, because Uddhava, being a confidential friend, it's not that he just tells him, take this message, and he just takes it. If there's something he sees wrong with it, then he might chastise him for it. That's what he said before, is he can't say certain things, otherwise he'll say, oh, why are you doing this? Why are you keeping alive in such misery? Like that. So therefore he has to be very careful what he says.
Maharaj, we can say that among the devotees, the gopi can be seen as the most always in distress.
Yes, but it's also they can be seen, and it's also the unseen, because it's more that you understand it from the unseen than from the seen.
Yes, yes.
Like that.
Exactly. Yes.
Is it that feminine nature that also has an impact on the depth of their feelings of separation?
Yes, 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 that would be there. Because the masculine functions in its own way, like that. But so therefore you could say Mother Jashoda, she will feel so much separation. But at the same time as the gopis, it's more intense.
Yes.
Because they've given up everything for Krishna. Like that. It's not that Mother Jashoda doesn't use everything for Krishna, but it's just a different flavor. So the different flavor gives a different effect. Dear Uddhava, all those nights the gopis spent with me, the most dearly beloved, when I was present in Vrindavan, seemed to them to pass in less than a moment. But when, bereft of my association, the gopis felt those same nights drag on forever, as if each night were equal to a day of Brahma. It's a long time. Here Krishna acknowledges the terrible agony the gopis endured on his account. He addresses Uddhava as Didn't we just read this?
No.
No, but we mentioned before he's addressed as Anga. So it's another way it was being used. Okay. Uddhava, he addresses Uddhava as Anga to indicate that Uddhava is as dear to him as his own body. And he describes how the pleasure of the rasa, dance he shared with his beloved gopis passed swiftly, as if in a single moment, even though the rasa lila lasted several nights. As certain Smriti Shastras explain, the word nights can also mean days and nights. By the Supreme Lord's special energies, the rasa dance did not end on a single night, but lasted many nights and days, although outsiders were unaware. Krishna and the gopis celebrated the rasa lila for a long time, without interruption. That such an extended festival seemed to the gopis to last only a moment proves how happy Krishna's pure devotion how happy Krishna's pure devotees become in his intimate association. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, this verse shows the outstanding quality of Rudha Bhava, which is a type of Mahabhava, the seventh state of prema. Mahabhava is defined as kalpasya, shanta, yoge, vyoge, tad, vibharyaya. In meeting the Lord, a kalpa seems to be a moment, and in separation, a moment seems to be a kalpa. Ujjvala Nilamani 14.168. The nights of the rasa dance with me, which lasted for a night of Brahma, while I was situated in Vrindavan, Vrindavana Gocharena, or while I was tending cows in Vrindavan, passed like half a moment. Nights of four praharas, 12 hours, became like days of Brahma, because they could not tolerate that time in separation. Sardartha Darshani 11.12.11. The moonlit autumn nights when Krishna danced with the gopis passed quickly for the gopis, but not other nights. On other nights, the suffering they underwent from Krishna's absence seemed to last millions of years. Or we accept that Krishna, almost every night, would find ways to sneak out of the house to meet the gopis, then every night passed quickly, not just the nights of the rasa lila season. Only the daytimes were excruciatingly long. So in any case, when Krishna was there, then it went like it was a moment, and whenever he wasn't there, then it seemed like forever. Yeah. You know, so we can see is where this mood comes from, right? You know, that things, you know, seem like they're forever because it's coming from this separation from Krishna. In other words, there's a certain aspect of Krishna we want to be interacting with in the material platform. We're not with that. We're separated from that. So therefore, it seems like forever. And then when we're with that, it seems like only a moment.
Yeah.
It's the same principle. Just with the gopis, it's brought to its utmost position of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that.
So although time doesn't exist in the spiritual world, they have a feeling.
Yes, there's a sense of time.
Yes.
Like that. You know, because that's there. Because it's also Krishna. It's just that it doesn't restrict them. It just adds to rasa. Well, here it actually restricts us. Like that. In the spiritual world, time doesn't, because it's eternal, but there's the feeling of, you know, that it's either just a moment or it's eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Krishna admits that the gopis' great love for him has cast them into utter misery. This thought might prompt a friend to suggest that Krishna bring the gopis to Dwarka and again make them happy. But this idea, Krishna answers, is not feasible. The rasa dance was a source of delight for him and the gopis because they enjoyed it together in Vrindavan. Neither Krishna nor the gopis can feel the same ecstasy anywhere else. Only in Vrindavan does Krishna wander among his cows and dress himself as a cowherd. Only in the atmosphere of Vrindavan is the highest ecstasy perceived. Unfortunately, Krishna confesses, he is no longer the same person as in Vrindavan. He has become ungrateful and hard-hearted, yet the original virtues of the gopis have not degraded at all, and therefore Krishna considers the gopis much more exalted than himself. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's that when you have Vraja Krishna, you have Dwarka Krishna, that's not it's not a different person, but the mood is different. So because mood is the main thing, then there'll be a distinction between Braja Krishna and Dwarka Krishna.
Yes.
But they're the same person. It's not that they're two different people. Because I said, Braja Krishna never leaves Vrindavan because that he never leaves in that mood. Because that's what is the mood that makes him that. Does that make sense? 145. My dear Uddhava, just as great sages in yoga trance merge into self-realization, like rivers merging into the ocean, and are thus unaware of material names and forms. The gopis of Vrindavan were so completely attached to me within their minds that they could not think of their own bodies, or of this world, or of their future lives. Their entire consciousness was simply bound up in me. The gopis were married women with husbands, children, and household responsibilities. How can they be considered superior to renounced, self-contented sages who have given up all material attachments? Here Krishna answers that doubt. After sages who follow the Ashtanga Yoga system become advanced in the practice of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dhyana, and Dharana, they realize the absolute truth as Lord Vishnu in their perfected trance, or Samadhi. In that perfect consciousness, they forget the temporary names and forms of the material world, including the names and forms of their own bodies. The gopis resemble such perfect sages, for the activities of the gopis, minds are all fixed on Krishna. In a highly developed trance, unachieved by virtue of their constant connection with Krishna, their natural relationship with him is pure love. Like sages adept in Ashtanga Yoga, the gopis have forgotten everything of this world. Their husbands and children, their own bodies, the normal objects of self-centered attachment, their individual identities as proprietors and enjoyers of the material body, and all their hopes for success in this life and the next. Right, so because you've given up that identity, that this is their individual identities, they only are absorbed in Krishna. That means then, because identity, you have to have identity to do action, and action will generate results. So giving up their identities, they give up endeavor, they give up results.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So they don't see themselves separate from Krishna. It's only about Krishna. So therefore, then they can't be engaged in anything mundane. Because in being engaged in something material, you have to have an identity. So here is the sages, they have the identity, I've given it up. All right? So that makes them on a very elevated level. But for the gopis, that giving up is because they identify with Krishna. So it's not that I'm the one who am giving up something material, I'm just absorbed in Krishna. So that places them on the highest form of yoga.
Mm, yes. So, yeah. It's a positive one.
Yes, positive. Yeah.
But Maharaj, the gopas, you can say they are also absorbing Krishna.
Yes.
So it means, here it is said, okay, the gopis, they forget about their husband. Can we say that their husband forget about the gopi?
Their husbands forget about the gopis.
Can we say like that?
But
if they are absorbing Krishna?
We don't hear about that.
No. No.
Yeah, we don't hear about that. Otherwise, they would notice that they've gone out at night and stuff. And so, you know.
Because I can, for example, in the daytime, when the gopa are with Krishna in the forest,
they're not worried about them.
Yeah, they don't worry about them.
Yeah. But at home, then everybody does their duties.
Yes.
So it means because we're talking about the gopis now, you know, then we're not talking about what the gopas do, you know, at home. Because otherwise they'll also be thinking of Krishna and this and that. But there's duties to perform, and so you expect everybody to do their duties.
Yes.
You know, so you expect the girls to do their duties.
Yes. Okay.
As rivers abandon themselves to the waves of the ocean, the gopis have merged their hearts in thoughts of Krishna. Thus, being fully dedicated to Krishna, they should be recognized as even greater than the munis, perfect in the Astanga Yoga system. Even while standing in the midst of a blazing fire, the gopis are not burned. Rather, all their desires are fulfilled. Furthermore, simply by remaining always in Krishna consciousness, the gopis have gained the spiritual strength to easily turn away from everything material. Their hearts are irrevocably attracted to Krishna in all circumstances, whereas munis have to struggle hard to progress through the successive methods of Astanga Yoga. The munis must deeply concentrate to bring their minds under subjugation, and only after long endeavor can they possibly reach the goal, samadhi, in which they can forget material names and forms. The gopis are much greater because they easily achieve samadhi. Because the gopis, as they're thinking of Krishna, they do. The other ones are going through the mechanics. Yes. Then they start meditating on Krishna, only because you're supposed to. Then they may develop that attraction for Krishna. Right? But here is the gopis, because of their attraction to Krishna, they're meditating on Krishna, then they're greater than these sages, their intensity, the focus.
It's constant.
Yeah, there's no break. It's not that there's going to be anything else, and it's what it will always be. Because the problem is that the yogi, when he gives up his meditation and begins doing activity, he won't be on that same platform as samadhi. But the gopis are doing all their daily activities, and not only that, their activities of the home. Yes. Right? That's the point. Is that one can say, no, but all these things that distract me from it, nothing's going to distract more. Then you know the women having to deal with husbands, with children, with the other duties in the house, that's going to distract the main. So they're able to be absorbed in Krishna fully, even though they're in those positions. So,
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaura Prema. Okay, now what are we doing?
In the morning you are mentioning about Chaguru and Chaguru.
Yes.
So I have a question. Chaguru also means to be a liberated personality? The only liberated person can be
No, no. No, anybody can be.
So anybody just like someone preached me and made me chant, but I was not initiated.
There are Siksha Guru. It doesn't mean that there's not levels of Siksha Guru. See, preachers are one category of Siksha Guru.
One category.
Yeah. Then you have Siksha Gurus that are on the level of Diksha Guru, means that they're Sat Guru.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the founder Charlie as the central position of Siksha Guru. The Siksha has to follow some direction.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's given by the founder. Right? So then all Siksha Gurus have to follow what the Siksha Guru says. The founder Acharya says if you change that, then technically you're not in the line. You know, it's not like before, where you have the parampara and the guru maybe adjusting things because of the disciples and the situations that are there. When it goes on like that, when you have a founder acharya, then it's never adjusted. You maybe, you know, have just have the wording you use and this and that, but the overall concept can't change. So if they do change it, you know, thinking that I'm guru or I'm this and that, then they kind of miss the whole point. So we don't support such things.